Much of golf centers on tradition, with a lot of longtime brands and sponsors on both the men's and women's tours. Today's guest kind of straddles the line with a solid place in the history of golf while bringing in a really exciting, innovative, newer event onto the LPGA Tour. Stay with us. This is The Business of Golf. Welcome into The Business of Golf. I am Allison Johnson, here with my friend and co-host, Adam Grubb. Adam,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. We've got a great guest today. So Aaron Stewart is going to be joining us. He is the tournament director of the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions on the LPGA Tour. So that takes place in Orlando, and they're newer to the tour, with their first event being in 2019. So I don't know if you've seen some of the more non-traditional women's events or men's events, but it's a pretty cool one. Have you checked it out yet?
No, I haven't, but that's what I do like, those kind of non-traditional kind of side tournaments, because they seem to have really cool formats, really cool people, a much different kind of vibe. Sometimes they're a little bit more exciting even than the traditional week in, week out, 4-day tournaments that you see. And the guest list is always massive. There's celebrities. I always like that. It's good theater and it's good for golf. So this is something I know very little about, though. So this will be a good conversation.
You're going to love it. So what I like the best about it is it allows for a lot of different marketing opportunities as well, which is really cool. Brings in new audiences and gives you a different viewership, which is always a lot of fun. So Aaron has some serious marketing chops in his background. He started with Diamond Resorts actually in a mentorship program for marketers and was hired right after that program and started, if I'm not mistaken, started his first role there with over 400 employees that actually were under his realm, which is incredible. So he comes by it honestly. His father's Payne Stewart, and one of the coolest things, Adam, that I think you'll find interesting that not a lot of people talk about for some reason, but I think is mind-blowing, is his dad actually had a partnership with the NFL in which the colors that he would wear, you know, Payne Stewart's obviously well-known for his fashion style, the colors he would wear would match up with the professional sports NFL team of the city of the tour stop that they were in, which is pretty cool. So I feel like Aaron's coming to us from like a legit golf background, legit sponsorship marketing side, and he's got a phenomenal job in the space with this event. So Aaron, welcome in. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
My first question, Aaron, thinking about it, is simply, when you think about your golf heritage and the lineage of golf in your, was there anything else you were going to do in your life than be in the golf world? I mean, was there ever a time where you go, maybe I'll head over here. I'll be the steward that goes this route.
I guess an hour away from the beach was just too far.
That could be.
Well, you have the hair for it. You have the hair for it. So that's good. All right, Allison, that was my only question so far.
Right,
go ahead.
Well, there you go. Well, so the Tournament of Champions is one of the newer ones to the tour, as we've said, and you're kicking off the season next year, which is a really great spot to be in. So your format's a little bit different. So talk to us about what goes on that week.
Yeah, it's it is a little bit of a unique event. We got partnered with the LPGA Tour back in 2019. And the previous 10 years leading up to that, on their side, they had not had a true winners only event. I believe when Mike Wann took over as commissioner, I believe they had somewhere in the realm of 23 to 24 events on their schedule. And over the years, they were able to build that up to 30 plus that they now have, to the point that he felt that it was warranted and he could go back to his players and stand up and say, no, we've grown to the point that now we can support a true winners only limited field event. And this is what we're going to do. Right now, from the Diamond side, we got started back in 2013 as a 1-day charitable fundraising event that one of our brand ambassadors, Brian Gay, who wears our logo out on tour, he was kind enough to put his name behind it. And so that's how the tournament actually got started. It grew over the years from the 1-day, just kind of invite your friends and the business partners in the Orlando area, to a full on week long party that it's become these days.
Is there, when you think of the Tournament of Champions and a limited field, does that limit the amount of excitement in your mind because there's not as many opportunities for sponsors? Or does this actually the opposite effect, and that limited field gives more opportunities for sponsors to have different activations and different ways to market inside that tournament?
I think you hit it on the second point, Adam. I think that it actually presents more of an opportunity. And when we say limited field, we're really just speaking to the LPGA, to the professional side of the event, right? We bring in a full field of celebrities from sports and entertainment worlds that are not professional golfers. Some of them probably tell you that they would have liked to have been had they not excelled in their particular career path. But the combination of that really brings in, and this is one of the coolest things of our event, it brings in a new audience to the game of golf that they're not your typical golf enthusiasts that are watching every tournament week in and week out. They may be a football fan that wants to watch Larry Fitzgerald, and they're a big fan of that. They found out that he's playing in this tournament in Orlando, so they're going to watch him play golf rather than dominate on the football field like he normally does, right? We've got basketball players. We've got NFL players. We've got baseball players, hockey players. These are former all-stars that have really excelled in their particular sports, and the fans are going to come out and watch them, and they're going to get exposed to, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Vince Carter's walking down the fairway next to a 5'4" professional LPGA player.
She's out driving.
And he's getting out driven by 50 yards, and this guy's got 200 pounds and a foot and a half on this female professional. And you know, it really kind of, it brings a new audience in, and it exposes them to, oh, I thought maybe golf was not for me, right? But, oh, if I see one of my idols, you know, for example, any of the guys that we have here, John Smoltz has won our tournament previously. Obviously, Hall of Fame pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. That's a market that's close to Central Florida. So we get a lot of Braves fans that are coming down to watch Smoltzy and Millar and those guys play together. So it is a really cool, fun thing. The other side of it that separates our tournaments from others is the music side of it. We put on three headline concerts throughout the week at a music venue that we construct and build all of our own. Obviously, Diamond Resorts, we are in the vacation ownership industry. We are not a company such as like a Outlier or formerly Iger. They go out and their business is running these different events and tournaments. Well, our business has really expanded into the area that we're now able to provide this experiential marketing because of what we've done over the last 10 years. And we saw when we really created what we call our Events of a Lifetime franchise, that is this experiential marketing platform that we put our guests and owners that are on vacation with us through during their vacation. We saw the results from that, and it's led from over the years being able to now produce this this week-long party that's also tied into a professional golf tournament. And at the end of the day, if we can make it you know, cost-effective from the P&L wise, to the point that one of our goals is to try and get the notoriety and the publicity that come along with NBC partnership and a Golf Channel partnership and the local notoriety throughout the week. If we can get all that for free between our vacation ownership business and our sponsorships that we bring in for the tournament, then that's kind of the best case. That's a win for us.
So you guys have done something really, sorry, Allison, you guys have done something really cool when it comes to mixing the media, the entertainment, the music, food. And golf is there. It's the central part, but it's not the only attraction. When this idea came out, when you guys started talking about this, who said, hold on a second, people don't want to do all that. They just want to watch golf. And who said, nope, they do. And this is what our brand is about. This is how we get people involved.
So 100% the credit to the tournament itself. This is the brainchild of our CEO, Mike Flaskey. So Mike has been the driving factor behind both the Events of a Lifetime franchise within Diamond Resorts that's kind of grown into, as I mentioned, what's become now the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions, plus the 3,000 other events that we host throughout the year at our various resorts around the country.
So inside the ropes, you've got top LPGA talent. You've got really exciting musicians and actors and, you know, famous people coming in. So you've got the inside the ropes mastered. What's going on outside the ropes for the spectators that come to your event?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the cool things that we came up with a few years ago was we were noticing that a lot of the spectators that were coming out were kind of congregating in between the 18th hole, the second hole, and the first hole, because there's a pretty long bridge that goes through a Audubon sanctuary at Four Seasons. So we've got to shuttle people across that bridge. There becomes a little bit of a holdup. Anyway, we're noticing a bottleneck between those three holes. So what we did was we created a, coming from the resort industry and the travel industry, our taste and travel pass, right? So we went out and built four different food and beverage locations throughout the course, and we themed these around places that we have resorts in, and then we tied in specialty food and beverage items at each of those locations that were themed around those locations, and people could come and drink the different types, and we had it changing every day. That was one thing. Another thing we do is, being that it is a limited field event, there's no cut, it's a little bit more relaxed atmosphere, we're playing music on the driving range. We've got a DJ on the 18th hole, which the conventional or the traditional golf fan, we get a lot of mixed feedback, I guess you could say, on it. Yeah, some people really get upset about it. But I will say the LPGA players, we turn down the music for that. The caddy will kind of look over. The DJ's right there on the 18th hole. So he'll kind of look over. And more than most of them are kind of giving them the sign to keep it going, you know, turn it up. I remember this year watching Stacey Lewis, and we turned it down, and she looked back and, no, crank it up. She was like 60. So the crowd, we had a limited attendance this year just because of COVID and all the challenges that came with that. But I mean, when she did that, the place went nuts, and it was really cool.
You're bringing in a whole new crowd, and that's what golf is all about here in the last couple of years, specifically 2020 and the explosion of golf. New people finding the game in new different ways, from top golf to putt-putt, to playing nine holes or playing with their kids. We're seeing more and more people come in, and then we start talking about fashion and all the changes that are happening there. We talk about music on the course, all of these things, and this is just one more event, one more experience that can bring new people to the game. I know that marketing and advertising and the experience is number one, but number two is, You're bringing people into a pretty cool atmosphere. And wait a minute, this is golf? This isn't what I thought it was going to be. How proud are you to know that that's happening and that you guys could be having an impact on golf in the future?
I think you're spot on, Adam. I think there's no question it's happening. I mean, just you look at, and I think social media definitely has a big impact on it, but look at the golf headlines lately. I mean, for example, you look at some of the things happening on PGA Tour as well as LPGA Tour. You've got Michelle Wee and the LPGA Tour putting out the hoodie that's helping generate awareness on that. You've got the PGA Tour putting a $40 million social media or whatever they call it for the year end. And then you've got Brooks Koepka and Bryson going back and forth about their match. And that's on every major news outlet in the world, really. And so you're talking about golf, and it's becoming more mainstream. There was the question of, oh, should hoodies be allowed to be worn at the golf course? And the conversations are kind of, I think they're beginning to go into the realm of, well, why not, right? Why can't you wear a hoodie? Is it that big of a deal? Is it taking away from the true nature of the game? Or is it bringing more people into the game because they don't think it's as stuffy and as exclusive as at one point it was made out to be, right? So I think that's a really big thing. It's definitely a goal of ours. As I mentioned, the fact that we do have a lot of non-golfers competing in our tournament from other sports and entertainment worlds, it does bring in that new audience to it. So that's definitely a driving factor and a goal of ours each year is to do our part to help grow the game.
Well, you were a collegiate golfer. You've played in the father and son on the PGA Tour. I would say that you probably would say that your greatest accomplishment is the birth of your son in January, which is very exciting. Banks, we highly recommend US Kids Golf Clubs for him. If you need a connection, we've got one for you. I'm guessing you're set, but you never know. But I'm curious, you know, does junior golf kind of take on a new role for you? I know that you've got junior camps that outside of Diamond Resorts, you know, you've got your Payne Stewart Family Foundation that you're a part of. And one of those elements is your kids' golf programs. Does that take on a new meaning to you now that you have your own kids?
Absolutely. I think it does. Definitely on a personal level, for sure, because I just can't wait to get him out there and just on the golf course and start teaching him and that. I've had him in the stroller out on the driving range a couple times, and that's been pretty cool to kind of, you know, you get the proud dad moment, pushing him out on the stroller. And so that's been pretty cool. You're spot on the Payne Stewart golf camps. That's been a big thing. That was a big passion project of my father's. And then a big focus point for the foundation has always been on introducing children to the game and trying to grow the game through that way. For a long time, we've supported Kids Across America and Canna Cup camps up in Missouri, where they have a Payne Stewart learning complex up there. Kids Across America, they do a great job bringing inner city youth out to summer camp each year. So that's kind of cool that they can get exposed to golf. A lot of those kids may not live in an area where there's a lot of golf courses or driving range, so they can kind of get exposed to that for the first time and hopefully take it back with them. And it becomes something not only that they do at summer camp, but throughout the year. And more recently, the Payne Stewart golf camps have kind of kicked off, and we're hosting these camps at a lot of schools, a lot of churches. They're big in the summer, but after school programs as well. So it's definitely a focus point for the foundation, just because of how passionate my father was about growing the game through children.
So hopefully this question isn't too deep, Aaron, but as your father being Payne Stewart, do you feel any pressure to carry on that legacy and to complete some of the things that he had started and to ensure that not just that his legacy lives on, which is not even a question, but what he wanted to accomplish in the game, what he wanted to bring to kids and families and how he saw golf? Has that made itself to you and mentally and emotionally you going out there and trying to complete what he was unable to?
Yes and no, right? And I say that because when I was playing golf, you know, through college and amateur golf, there was certainly added pressure, right? Because there was always kind of an asterisk next to your name, right? So I always said, when I was playing good, it was great because you get the notoriety. But those days when you play bad, you kind of want to just sink into the background. And no, it's still kind of highlighted up there. Now that I'm in the corporate world, corporate golf is a lot easier than trying to play amateur or even professional golf. So I don't feel it really pressure on the golf side. And I think there's been so many terrific, you know, things added to his legacy. For example, the PGA Tour every year gives out the Payne Stewart Award, which is presented by Southern Company. There's those little legacy pieces that will happen throughout. So I think his legacy, as you mentioned, is always going to be there, not only for what he did in golf, but the way he made people feel. So the pressure that I feel is more just to continue on that side of things, right? You're always trying treat people with respect and be a good representative of our family in the way that my parents raised my sister and I.
Well, you are certainly doing a phenomenal job with all that you're doing and blazing your own trail in the business of golf. It's really exciting to see these new initiatives coming to the LPGA, and there's a lot of excitement around women's golf, and you're just continuing to raise the bar for all of us. So we really appreciate all the work that you're doing at Diamond Resorts and with this event. And good luck at the season opener. That'll be really fun to start to see who's playing and all that kind of good stuff towards the end of the summer into the fall.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. It was great to talk with you today. Yes.
Well, that was super fun. I want to go to this event.
Honestly, there isn't anything I want to do more.
I know. Than go to this event. Well, and I'm a huge country music girl, and they have a ton of country music players that played last year. So I'm like, I want to come pick me.
With everything he said, and we also have, he had me sold at the little tasting thing in between the holes. Like, I'm good there. Like, that isn't something that you normally get. I live in Indiana, and the Indianapolis 500 is our big event of the year, right? And that's 200,000-300,000 people drawn to auto racing one time a year because of all of the pomp and circumstance, because all the entertainment, all the other things that happen. You bring people into a sport because of the experience that it brings you. And that's what they're doing. And I truly believe that more people, if they knew about these types of events and these more of these things happened in places all over the country, you would see a much different golf fan. You may see a much different golf education than the traditional tournaments that are happening week in, week out. It's a very different vibe. And it's a vibe at Stick and Hack specifically that I think we love, because it's bringing people together. If you're Stick or you're Hack, it doesn't matter. And the business side of that is even more impressive. All of the activations, all of the things, the ways that they are making money and putting into the market space and that local economy, incredible. I'm so glad that I got to learn about that and talk with him. That could have been another hour conversation in and of itself. So incredible, for sure.
Well, and the cool thing is, you know, what you see on TV is built for, you know, the sport as a whole, mm-hmm. and the competition. And that's what that's about. And it's about TV rights and the league that's running the event and the players that are running that event playing a game. But if you go on site to a tournament, and it's the same at every single tournament, on every tour, at every stop, it is about the local community, the local charities, the local sponsors, and then the national sponsors. And so there are a ton of things that are going on that you're not seeing on TV, because it's a totally different goal and different objectives and just 100% different experience, which is really fun. And you get a real flavor for whoever that sponsor is. So being a travel, right. You know, in the travel industry, they're going to treat you right when you come on site because hospitality is what they do. And so, you know, it's very interesting and always great to talk to different events around the country. So always a good conversation here at Stick and Hack.
Well, Allison, I have a challenge for you. You have 6 months to get Stick and Hack into that tournament somehow, some way, to get us on location there. You have 6 months.
All kinds of ways to participate in events, for sure. From playing in pro-ams to covering media to, you know, all different things. So good stuff always going on, and we will keep those conversations going.